Welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to talk to Dr. Moji Sola Edu. And this is a master class in how to live your yoga. So many of the themes that Moji Sola talks about come straight out of Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, which many of us love that tradition, but I would say they come out of many different traditions that have all come together to make Moji Sola the wise woman that she is. I think you're going to be inspired by her story and also wanting to be more like her, wanting to figure out, how can I have that kind of courage? How can I have that kind of freedom within myself? How can I find my truth and speak my truth? Moji Sola has had years and years and years, decades of really difficult things in her life that have brought her to this place where she's made a choice. She's made a decision to love herself, to be kind to herself, to be compassionate, to be strong and fierce, to be honest with herself, to tell the truth, and to ask for her needs to get met. This is not something that we can do in just a couple of weeks or months. This is a lifelong thing. And I believe this is what having a daily yoga practice and living our yoga is leading us to. This is where we're going. Here is a very applied version of living your yoga right here in front of your face. I think you're going to want to listen to the wisdom that Moji Sola brings us over and over and over as a reminder and also a source of inspiration to continue to do this work for yourself so that you can become an empowered version of you. You can take responsibility for your life. You can find joy. You can find freedom. And you can find a way forward if you're really suffering. So let's just jump right in and get to know Moji Sola. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour Season 7. We are so happy that we can share this time together each week. It's a really important part of our week, and I hope that it is for you too. We also want to invite you to the Optimal State app for iPhone and for Android. Your first month is free. We're going to start offering meditation circles for new moon, for a full moon, for the solstices and the equinoxes. We're going to build a community around this app. So why not jump over to the iPhone store or the Android store, download the Optimal State app for free, and start to join our community and start to have more resources in addition to the podcast. We'd love to see you over there. Welcome, Dr. Edu. So nice to see you today.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here on this podcast. I am just so ecstatic. Can't wait.
Where are you joining us from?
I'm joining everyone from Maryland here. And I'm originally from New York, I'm from Queens, but I am in Maryland right now.
Wonderful. So your first name is Moji Sola, and you've given me permission to go back and forth between Dr. Edu and Moji Sola. I think you're going to have kind of an opening for us, yeah?
Yes. I usually start with an opening with an affirmation. So I'm going to pull the affirmation card today to get us started. And let's see what's coming up. Today says, I am a light worker in disguise. I don't have to talk about it. I can just be it.
Ooh, that is so good. I don't have to talk about it. I think I really need to hear that, actually. How's that sit with you? What comes up when you hear that?
I think it comes up just like the work that we've been doing with yoga therapy and even with yoga, just become it. I don't know if this has come off to different people, but it doesn't have to be a pony show.
Yeah.
We can just be it, embody it. We are light workers. It is our birthright. It's a gift that was given to us, and just show up as light. It can be easy. It doesn't have to be hard.
I see that in you every single day. And that's not to say that you have to be perfect or show up in a certain way, but just who you are, how you show up, you truly are a light worker in this world.
Uh-huh.
I'm so grateful for you. So I think a lot of people, I've kind of noticed in our community that we have together, when you just entered into the community in your full feminine power and brought that light to our community, I could see that other people were like, wow, how does she just show up like that in her fullness and be who she is and be authentic and speak her voice? Like, I could see others wanting that ability. So I just want to start with, how did you get there, Moji Sola? Because that's like the Holy Grail.
For me, and we've had conversations about this, I had to surrender my ego, let go of it, and I had to surrender my fear and transform my fear into more of looking at it as my little friend that just hangs out and tells me, like, this is discernment, just warning me and using my intuition. Because so much of my life, I was in survival mode, like a lot of us, in survival mode because we had to survive, not having control in my life. I mean, I lost my father when I was 10 years old to gun violence. Somebody murdered my father, right? And being homeless, surviving rape, all kinds of different things, and being homeless with my child and being disabled, I had to realize I am not the person I used to be. And that's hard to accept when you used to be an able-bodied person, when you used to, when you were a kid and you were just fearless. And I had to accept that. Acceptance was the biggest thing. And I always tell everyone, like, the biggest thing you can do for yourself is decide to heal. Everybody can tell you to heal. Everybody can say, hey, do this, see a therapist. Not until you decide to do it and do that shadow work. The hardest thing, and one thing a lot of people, just like you said, if you go through the yoga therapy program, you're going to find a lot of shadow work in there. You're going to find that you're going to have to confront those emotions that you had dormant, that you thought that you worked through. I had multi-level trauma and I had to work through that. So I can't show up if I don't work on myself. And I think the fact that I was able to work through, and I'm not perfect. Oh, I have some days. I have some days where I scream, my hair is a mess, all kinds of stuff, but it's not as bad as it used to be. It doesn't take over my whole entire day anymore because I work through these things using yoga practices and other modalities, and just knowing that and trusting that it's going to be okay. The fear is the one thing that holds so many people back. But if we can transform and transmute, because we're all alchemists, we can transform fear into our sidekick to let us know that this is just discernment. It doesn't have to lock us in a chokehold. I think that's it. And I feel like I earned this smile. I earned this showing up. And you know what's funny? In my journey, I was like, I wanted love and I wanted to show up as love and light, right? And so, you know what? I tattooed in Chinese letters love on the back, on my back. I said, well, like you say, sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. So I had to tattoo it and constantly tell myself. And like you said, I had to program myself because, like you say in yoga therapy, creating new neural pathways, I
Right.
had to retrain my mind to know that I can accept love, I can become love. If I become love, there's no attachment to what everything else is because I show up as love, I can be it. And I tell myself every day, I'm showing up as love. Whatever happens from that, I just allow it to flow. So that's really it. And I just hope that, listeners out there that in yoga therapy or yoga in general, it says we suffer because we don't know who we are. Remembering who we are, knowing who we are, and harnessing that power within. Because there's no external happiness, it's internal happiness.
Everything you're saying. And yet it's so hard.
It is hard.
What was the moment, or were there many moments that finally wore you down that you decided to heal, that you decided, look, this is an inside job, regardless of all of the structural and systemic horrific things going on in the world? I mean, that is all truth. And was there a moment, or were there many moments that you just kind of decided, yeah, this is my life and I have control over me?
There were many moments, so many moments. Like I said, being in an abusive marriage, which was hard, and being a first-time mom, that was very hard. Dealing with the injury, dealing with all those different things. It was many layers of different moments. And I was like, I feel like I'm even dealing with relationships with people. I was going through like the same cycle. I was not learning my lesson. I was letting ego do its work. And I said, if I just do a little bit more of this, or I get accepted, even these circles of even like friendships, if I do a little bit, they're going to accept me. They're going to see me. I didn't see myself. I did not see myself. I did not love myself. I did not tell people how to treat me. I allowed them to take advantage, and I was not vulnerable enough to be my true self because I was conforming and compartmentalizing myself and who I truly was because I wanted acceptance. And I didn't accept myself. And all those different layers, I said, I don't want this anymore. It's making me sick. Like I was literally sick, like almost about to die. Like I was sick. And I said, no, I can't do this anymore. I have a child. And I think, you know, the universe, the creator wants more from me. So I sat there one day, I cried. I cried for hours. I'm a crier.
If you can't cry, you can't have joy, right?
People sometimes, you know, especially in the BIPOC, sometimes crying and being vulnerable, we look at it as being weak, but no, it's a lot of strength in that. And crying also like releases the mala. We burn the mala away. We release it some way. And I cried a lot. And I just said, I'm not doing this anymore. And when I felt like I wanted to desert, like distract from it and go back on the same circle again, something smacked me in my face and sat me down.
Yeah. And how many times do we need to get smacked in the face before we realize, oh, I'm the common denominator here. I'm teaching people how to treat me. I'm putting myself last. I'm people pleasing. I'm making sure everyone else is comfortable while I'm getting sick over here. So it sounds like you found your voice. You decided that you wanted to heal. And part of that healing required that you find your voice. What does that even mean to you?
Finding your voice. Oof. It means so much. I get emotional when I talk about that. And we look at generational. So many women, from grandmothers to aunts and all that, didn't really have a voice. A lot of women are just reclaiming our voices again. You know, a society has told us it's systematic and this hierarchy. Women were supposed to be like out of sight, out of mind, speak when spoken to, be in the kitchen, raise the family. You're supposed to sacrifice your dreams, your wants, your desires for everything and everyone else. And being a natural empath and nurturer, you want to save everybody. You don't want anybody to suffer. You've been through it and you want to help everybody, but at what cost? How much of yourself are you sacrificing? And I had to find my voice again because my voice was taken away from me. By society, by tradition, by culture. I'm Nigerian American. There's a lot of cultural aspects. There's a lot of unlearning I had to do. The things that were imprinted in fears of people because they just didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. And that's how they survived. I think finding your voice is knowing yourself and rediscovery. And sometimes you rediscover every day or every situation or age period of your life. Like the book, The Alchemist. I can read the book, The Alchemist, several times in different stages of my life. And it just different. Because now the clarity is a little bit more different. And everyone, I implore you to find your voice, find out who you truly are, not what society said, not the labels people put on you, but who are you when you strip everything away? And I hate the fact that people think they have the right to pick and choose which layer they want to deal with of you when you're bigger than that. You're not a box. You're not able to be put in a box. And that's why sometimes we feel like we don't fit in. You know?
Yeah. I know a little bit about your story, and it reminds me of Eckhart Tolle, who basically became homeless for 2 years in New York City, had everything stripped away, and lived on the streets. And that's when he had these aha moments, and some would even say became enlightened. I mean, who's to say what enlightenment is? But the point is that it was the stripping away that got him to look at himself and figure out, who am I? Do you think you could say the same, that there was some stripping away that happened before you could really understand who you were?
Yes, I had to let go of so much. I had to set fire to the old version of myself. So they say Phoenix rising. Sometimes, you know, we're attached to who we used to be, how things were. And I had to let go of who that was because it wasn't what I was becoming. I had to give space for who the universe, the creator, or whatever you sign on to allow me to become this thing, this vessel. Because once we're Purusha, just having human experiences, right? I became homeless. I lost everything. And when you lose everything, you realize that you really don't need a lot. You become into survival mode. And one point I was a ghost in a shell. I was just existing. I was not living. I wasn't living for myself. I didn't understand what happiness was. What did it look like? What did it feel like? I was just functioning. So losing everything, I shaved my hair off. I had a manic moment. I shaved all of my hair off. My daughter cried. She's like, Mommy, right? And I shaved my head off because I was watching this movie called V is for Vendetta. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I know that movie, yeah.
And it really changed my life. It was like, we're living in a systematic society, but who are you? And V just said that I am everyone. People ask me who I am. I was like, I'm everything. I'm free flowing energy. I am everything because I have dealt with these different things. I think letting go, not being attached to the outcome, just letting go of everything makes you see life in a different perspective. You have more appreciation. I appreciate taking warm baths. I appreciate just having a shower in general. Mm-hmm. So every little thing I appreciated, even the breath that I have to be able to speak with you, I appreciate it even more after losing everything.
Yeah. And who did you find out you were when all of that was stripped away? What did you discover?
Who am I? I am everything. I'm everything, and meaning in everything, like I'm you, I am her, I am him, I am energy, just fruit flowing, allowing, accepting, and being. I'm just love. That's it. That's who I am.
And Mo, I know we didn't agree on all these questions, so you can stop me at any time, but I'm
this is a
conversation. How do you manage that also with boundaries? Because to me, I love that idea of being free flowing energy and recognizing the oneness between us and that we both are. And there's like very practical things in life that require boundaries and communication and making sure that you have your basic needs met so that you can show up on a podcast and talk to us. Like, how do you reconcile those two things?
I was stubborn. I had to learn the hard way. I got slapped in the face a couple of times in friendship relationships, partnership relationships, and business relationships. If you're a nice person, you know, people, you give them a finger, they'll take your whole arm, right? You know, so it was those moments where it didn't feel good. And once again, I was feeling sick. And I said, this is taking too much away from me. How much of myself am I sacrificing? And I had to set boundaries, you know? I didn't even know what boundaries were. I was like, what are boundaries, right? When it comes to boundaries, like people just think it's just like, I snap my fingers, it happens. No, you have to be truly honest with yourself. What is the purpose of this interaction with this individual? What do you want from this? What does that person want? And you have to set this clearly. That's why communication and intentional listening is so very important, because if you listen to somebody, they will tell you who they are. And it's for you to be open to listen to it, take notes to it, and be honest with it. If something doesn't feel right in a relationship, I don't care what it is. Be honest, address it. So there's no miscommunication, but there's some situations where you kind of know who the person is. And sometimes it's not even worth putting the energy out there, you know? So you have to have that discernment, but you have to have strong boundaries. You're not going to be able to function because you're going to have resentment. You're going to be angry. You're going to be angry at yourself for allowing this to happen to you. You're going to be angry and have resentment thinking that person is supposed to know who you are. But remember, people don't know. Not everybody's common sense is your common sense. So, you know, we have to be open and we have to be vocal and we have to train people. I'm sorry to use the word train, but we have to teach people how they are supposed to deal with us. We have to be honest with ourselves and like be authentic. I'm sorry. I know society says you got to show up perfect. You got to do all these different things. But like sometimes we're hot messes and that's okay too.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. And I think the common denominator in all of that, and this is where so many of us get stuck, in my experience, is honesty. Honesty about myself. How am I feeling in the presence of this person? Am I going into total nervous system dysregulation? Am I feeling heavy? Am I feeling like my brain just got cloudy and I don't know what the hell's going on here? Like, pay attention to that. Be honest with yourself. I think we get so far ahead and think, well, how can I get ahead in this relationship? And how can I use this relationship to get me here, there, and everywhere? How can I get more power, whatever it is, money? Like, we don't even listen and get honest with ourselves that, wow, my body is not liking this interaction at all. Then to be able to speak it, which I want to hear way more about how you find your voice, but then being honest with that other person, like upfront in the moment, and letting them know, like, hey, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. I can or I can't do that for these reasons, not feel ashamed or embarrassed about it. Just here's how it is. How are we going to work this out together? So I guess my question for you, Mo, is how do you get honest?
How do you get honest? Honest is confronting the shame of the honesty, confronting the fear in the honesty, and confronting the disappointment in the honesty. Maybe feeling like you're disappointing people who look up to you, or disappointing yourself because you felt like you might have had known better. And sometimes, our past is our past. We all have skeletons in the closet, but that's what built us and made us who we were, who we are now. And also, getting in front of it and giving it a name and working through it and with love and compassion. And sometimes you can't do it by yourself. You might need a coach, you might need a therapist. I think everyone needs a therapist, honestly.
I
I got one too. So,
got
and the honesty too comes with forgiveness. And I know this is a very tender thing for a lot of people. I had to forgive myself for the things that I had power over, the things I didn't have power over. I had to forgive myself. And a lot of the times, the disappointment, anger, and pain is because we never forget. We blame ourselves. We secretly, subconsciously blame ourselves and beat ourselves up instead of being honest with it. Like, I am disappointed in myself. I felt like I should have been farther. I felt like I shouldn't be repeating these same things, but I am doing it and I don't know why and I can't get out of it. Like, being honest with that, getting in front of that, and then forgiving those who hurt you unknowingly and knowingly. And it's not about reconciliation. It's about freedom and liberation for yourself to be released from those shackles of that resentment, that anger, that pain that just sits in your gut and you're having stomach issues because you haven't processed that mala.
I'm just in awe right now. Everything, all that you're saying. Let's just take a moment here to just take it all in. I feel like you should be some kind of yoga minister, like sermons every Sunday for us. I'm not even kidding. It's your calling, Mojisola. Oh, gosh. The Optimal State has some really exciting news for 2024. I'm moving to Minnesota, and as a result, I have the opportunity to come together with the University of Minnesota Buchan Center for Spirituality and offer therapeutic yoga classes to the general public, the employees of the university, and their families. We will do a three-part series in 2024, and we'd love for you to join us and become part of our University of Minnesota community. Whether you're doing it for yourself or your loved ones, or you're doing it for continuing education, this is an online program that we're offering three times in 2024. And if you want more information, please come to www.theoptimalstate.com and look on the website for a section that talks about the University of Minnesota. We're so happy to be joining forces, and we wanted to share our excitement with you so that you would have an opportunity to join us too. All right, back to our programming.
You know, as you're speaking, it kind of makes me emotional because it's exactly what I'm going through, why I have a therapist. Everything you're saying is just spot on, you know? If we can get honest with ourselves and get out ahead of it and start to take responsibility for our lives and really begin to say, hey, I want joy, I want liberation, I want freedom, and I'm going to have to give some stuff up, like my resentment and fears and all of that. If we can do that, how do we go from that place to speaking it? You know, in yoga, we say vak, V-A-K, the voice. Like, how do we have the courage to bring that forward and speak our needs and set those boundaries and say the really honest things that need to be said?
Ooh, that's another one. Our voice, that throat chakra, and many, many have had it closed off for years. Somewhere, some way, that switch was turned off, right? Something stole that power away. And we have to reclaim that power back. How do we do it? Once again, we go back to that honesty. Like, let's give it a name so we can address it and see it in front of us, right? And then stop trying to do it by yourself. Mm. Stop trying to do it by yourself. You're putting a Band-Aid on something that needs to be ripped off, exposed, and get real with it. Don't do it by yourself. And you have to be careful who you share your vulnerability with. Some people can take that and manipulate that to use it against you. And find your safe people that are honestly, truly there. Find your community, your sangha. And when you're vulnerable and in those states, please just don't rush into anything. Please don't just go to somebody because you think they're a guru or they're this or that. Please take a moment and really think about, you know, what do you want? What does that look like? How do you want your voice? How do you want to show up for yourself? And find, research, do your due diligence, find somebody that specializes in what you're looking for. It could be any type of addiction or vice, whatever the situation is, or just to deal with the trauma you've been through. Target one thing at a time. Once you target that first layer, then you can break back and peel back the other layers. A lot of people rush into this finding your voice by, I want to attack everything at one time. And you always talk about going from gross to sort of like this small hanging fruit. Let's deal with that first and then work our way through and work on the small wins. So find and do your due diligence. Do your part, right? And find the people that you feel like you resonate with and really trust your gut feeling. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. And you have a right to switch therapists if they don't get you. If they're not your people, if you don't feel like that, you can switch. Don't feel like you have to be stuck in that. I had to switch several times before I found my therapist and I had my moments. So with that voice is navigating, what do I want to show up for? What do I want to target? What do I want to deal with that I'm ready to deal with? That's another thing. What are you ready to deal with in that moment? Because some things can trigger you and you might go ahead and resort back and not want to deal with it. And some of us are checking the boxes when we go see our therapist. We are lying to ourselves and to the therapist, and you're showing up. Yeah, sure, I'm fine. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I did this. No, you did not. You didn't do it.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
This is why I was like, well, yoga therapy is where it's at, because we lie to ourselves. Then we go in and pay $150 an hour or sometimes more to lie to a therapist to get them to believe our story so that they give us the feedback we want to hear. I mean, it is ridiculous. And that's why I thought, well, let's get away from all this cognitive stuff. Let's go in the body and really work with the nervous system and get a certain level of safety so that we can be honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think of that.
Oh, safety is everything. Safety within the body. It starts with you. Like, we have to get to that place where, because some of us never been saved. Like, we've been living in survival for so long, and it's external stuff too. You have internal and external stuff. And the way the chaos of society, you're trying to just stay afloat. Sometimes a lot of people feel like they're drowning. Like right now at this moment, people feel like they're drowning. They're trying to balance inflation, housing crisis, just trying to stay awake,
you know,
have energy, you know, to just show up. And some people just feel like, oh, they see the person they see or they want to see. They see the glitz and the glam, but they don't see the blood, sweat, and tears, the sleepless nights, the uncertainty, the anxiety, the depression, and all those things, those dark places that you're in. And you feel like you have to be on all the time. You don't have to be on all the time. And like I said, it's hard. It's just sad that a lot of people don't have empathy. I feel like we're living with NPCs now, you know, just these characters that are unreal.
Well, I think what we're really trying to get at is safety. I mean, I don't have an answer for it because I'm going to say something a little bit political on my own podcast. So I'm sorry if this offends anyone, but when someone says I'm Republican for my economics and my finances, but I'm a Democrat for social issues, I feel a little concerned about that because people are suffering. They're trying to survive. They don't have food. They don't have shelter. They don't have housing. They're not going to be able to contribute to society sometimes because they're in survival mode, and social issues and economic issues are not separate. We're not taking care of people.
No, we're not.
And so, you know, I even feel guilty talking about safety on this podcast because it's just not available. But let's go there. Yes, we're overworking. Yes, we have too much going on. Yes, we're trying to survive. No, we don't have the food we need at all times. Some are lacking shelter. And what I hear you saying, and this comes back to you losing it all and saying, who am I? What am I really? When everything was stripped away, that's when you had your moments to figure out who you really are. And it doesn't take away from all the suffering that you went through, right? I'm not trying to not be empathetic to that because, my God, horrible to be a single mom with a child and homeless. And you also found something really amazing in those moments.
I have the scarf on, right? So I don't know if you know Frida Kahlo.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a person besides Maya Angelou and Sojourner Truth, as we are in Women's Month, that I find courage in because she took her trauma, her pain, and turned it into something beautiful. And roses can grow in the mud, in the darkest places. And we're all roses. We're all our own flowers, and with the different layers we go through. And coming back into when we look at safety, like, everyone's struggling. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care what situation. You're struggling in some way. And if you're not struggling, you know, that's a blessing. But there's people right now at this moment that have no food, have no home. People are being trafficked right now. People are just like, a lot of things are being stripped away from them.
Yeah.
And the only thing they have is just their faith, their belief that there's some hope. As long as we have breath in our body, we have hope. Every day we have a chance to change in that moment. And every day we have a chance to start over. Not a lot of people are given that gift, but we have this gift now. What can we do in that moment? Even though we can't block out society, but we can't change the way people act, but we can change the way we react. And there's a quote right here. It says, the moment when you want to quit is the moment when you need to keep pushing. Because those are the moments where we grow. Those are the moments when we find that courage, that grit, that determination. Because we've been to the points where we've been at the brink of death. Isn't that the biggest thing we fear is dying?
Yep.
So if you've accomplished that and you're still here talking and you still have breath in your lungs, that means everything else is a pebble and we just have to kick it. And if we start looking at that, like, what are we fearing? Why are we fearing that? Safety comes within. The safety is, if you've never known safety, if you've never experienced safety, take a moment within yourself to imagine and create, what does safety look like for you? If you can have a moment to create, design it, transmute a safe place that can live within inside of you, create that. Program yourself to let yourself know that you are safe, no matter where. It could be chaotic outside, but when you walk in, you know that you're safe within that presence. You are protected. Yes, I'm sorry people didn't protect you. I'm sorry they let you down. But in this moment, how can you mother yourself? How can you father yourself? How can you be that protection that you need for yourself in every moment, in every second? It's hard, but we can get there. I am a living testimony that you can.
I think so many of us want empathy for not getting what we deserve, not having someone to take care of us, not being mothered. And yes, we need empathy for that. Yes, we need to tell our story. Yes, we need a community that will grieve with us. And there's a next step.
Taking ownership, taking accountability, take it back. Take the power back. I had to let go of my own mother. I love her dearly with all my heart. She is the vessel the Creator created so I could be here to talk to you. But with her own trauma that she had unhealed, I couldn't continue that same pathway. It was either me or her. And I love her. I forgive her. She did the best that she could with what she had in that moment or what she needed to survive. But I could not risk my own life for someone else. It was the hardest thing I had to do in my life. And society tells you, you're not got to have a mother. You have to do this. And they paint this picture. And some of these things aren't as reachable as we think they are. But I accepted that. And I still love her. And I wish she had everything that she needs. I never wish her any ill will. But you have to decide in one moment how important you are and how much of a blessing you are. It is a birthright for you to live. It's a birthright for you to breathe. It's a birthright for you to heal. You are important and you were given a special gift that only you have. And everyone has their own special gift. And sometimes we have to let go of the closest people that we love so much dearly. It is gut-wrenching. But no, there is still happiness and still love. And there might be days where you still miss them. But it's okay. It's okay. I just want to take a moment just to just send love to all those do in this moment that are just hurting inside, that feel like there's no hope. I just want to let you know that I don't know you, but I love you. And I hope that everything that you want comes to pass for you, and allow yourself to just really sink into yourself and know that you are loved. I'm grateful you were born. It's not easy. But know you're not alone. Your tribal family, your soul family is here and they're waiting for you. Hang in there. Okay?
Yeah. You know, when I hear you talk, I think so many of us know what we need to let go of and give up, whether that's a relationship or a job or the comforts of XYZ. But we don't have the courage to do what you're saying, which is to actually let go of the trapeze bar and go into being in space and wondering if the next trapeze bar is going to come where you can grab. Like, we just don't have, I don't know if it's courage or strength or trust that it's okay to be in midair. You're not going to have the answers for the next part while you're still holding on to the last one. There is a surrender required.
Mm-hmm. There's a surrender, just like in the Yoga Sutras, which I think is a beautiful guide on how we can live our lives and to fulfill ourselves in its truest form, right? Because we are not our body. None of these things that we have materialized, we can't take it with us if we leave this earth, right? And courage is one part. I commend the courage, but it's the trust. It all goes back to the trust. Like you said, it's the trust. We don't trust ourselves. So how can we just trust something and say, hey, if I let this go, I'm going to be okay. I'll be fine. If we trust ourselves and know, and that's part of that surrender, like we have to let go of control, because we didn't have control in those situations where we were hurt, disappointed, we were let down, and we're trying to control something that we don't have control of. And most of the time when you try to control it, it doesn't work out, instead of just showing up and just being. Yoga and that stillness allow us to just show up and being. And that's why we ask ourselves, when we are in stillness, how does it feel to not have to think about anything? Not having to have to think and control, and just that little bit of moment, you have a little bit of freedom. If we can apply that to our daily lives. I'm not saying you have to do it all the time. I'm not saying that it has to happen in this moment. But when you just allow yourself, let's take little steps.
As I'm listening, it's like we have to be okay with not getting what we thought we wanted.
Not being attached to the outcome. We get this job and we're excited. They're like, yeah. And you get there and you're like, wow, I just sacrificed my whole entire life. I'm drained. I have no time for myself. I don't have freedom. Oh my God, what did I get myself into? But I want to do this work and I have moral injury because they're not doing what they said there was. They don't align with the mission and vision or my morals. I have to give this up. But then how do I eat tomorrow?
Yeah.
You figure it out. We figure it out like we've been doing all our lives. Did anybody figure out how far we were going to be? Some of us didn't even think we were going to make it here, but we made it.
It's really that moment by moment, just saying, well, we'll figure it out. You know, you'd think it would be easier to let go and surrender when you have more wealth and you have more support because, you know, you have a cushion to land on. But in my experience, working with people in yoga therapy, it's the opposite.
Yes.
The more people have, the less they can surrender. I feel like the people who've lived in poverty, who've had to figure it out 1 hour at a time, literally for life, somehow they're like, well, I've been here before and I figured it out and here I am again and I'll figure it out this time.
I think because they're scared to lose it all. They're scared. They think if they just one moment, they take a rest, everything's gone. My life is over. No, it's not.
Yeah.
The world is going to keep moving. Time is going to keep on ticking. People are still going to be living. The world isn't over. We have to get out of this. If I do one thing, I'm guilty for the rest. I'm so guilty because I took a rest for a moment. I'm guilty because I ate this one cracker. Like I gained 40 pounds. Now the world hates me. I'm like, come on. Yeah. Let's be realistic. It's not over. And I do find, you know, like a lot of people that are high functioning, living in a very Vata epitomized sometimes, they love to do like, and no offense to like Ashtanga or like hot yoga or anything like that. But yeah, it's an escape. They want to have this escape. But when you have to sit in stillness, they are agitated, irritated because they don't want to deal. They've been running away for so long. So they find their value or worth through their titles and the things that they're doing and the praises. And none of that stuff matters because they still don't know who they are. But once that situation happens and they get smacked in the face, they're confronted. They're like, what am I going to do? Have we had the conversations with ourselves? Who am I? Taking a mirror and looking, like, I ask people, who are you? They can tell me about their kids. They can tell me about their aunts, their uncles, everybody else. And this person's so great. Why aren't you great? You don't think you deserve to be great? You don't think you deserve these opportunities? You don't think, why? Who told you that?
Yeah. Gosh, I'm going to be listening to this episode over and over, because I think I've said this to you and some of our students at Optimal State. It literally is washing your brain, otherwise known as brainwashing, all the things you're saying today. You just have to wash your brain, get honest with yourself, speak your truth, be willing to let go, surrender. Have courage and trust that you'll figure it out. Literally, it's just every single day we have to wash our brains until this becomes the norm. And I would even go as far to say, and it's hard to say, but the more challenges I've had, the more people that I have disappointed and they have disappointed me, the more financial difficulties, the more like all the hard stuff in life, I've had no choice but to take on this kind of brainwashing that you're speaking today. And when I say brainwashing, I mean a very positive brainwashing. And I'm getting to the point in my life where I'm kind of grateful for all that struggle and strife, because I don't think if I had more comfort, I'm pretty sure I would have never done this work. It's too easy to avoid, whether it's yoga practices or whatever we comfort ourselves with. So
no,
that's a long time to get there.
Some people, it takes a long time. Some people, they're just forced to do it. Like, it's change comes by will or by force at the end of the day. And it's about, are you going to wait till it gets smacked in your face? Or are you going to gradually flow like water and adapt to it, become adaptable? My favorite book, Who Moved My Cheese? You know, it's- yeah, I love that book. And It's about being in our comfort zone. Some people are afraid to leave that nice cushion. We don't find growth in the cushion, you know? And not to say that we can't be safe and we can't be comfortable. Like, there's nothing wrong with being cushy and safe. I love it. I love being snuggled up and wearing sweats. I don't like dressing up. I'm a tomboy. I like to be in sweats. But I mean, at the end of the day, we have to be honest with ourselves. And thank you so much for all the work that you do, Amy. And I know it's not easy. And all the sacrifices, everything that you've done to show up and to share your knowledge, your wisdom. I truly, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate you and thank you so much and appreciate you for all the work that you continue to do and that you're doing for everybody because you're touching people in different ways. I just want to let you know that. Thank you so much.
As we wrap up today, I think that's where it comes to. We also have to know when to rest, to say, okay, I've been doing my part. I've been working so hard. And I know I see you. I see you all over the world. I see you traveling. I see you receiving awards, thank goodness. Well-deserved, but also just out there doing the work, supporting people, loving people. Do you take a rest?
Oh, yes. I have to. If I don't take a rest, I can't help anyone. Seriously, it's do or die. Like some days I have to sleep for 2 days or 3 days. Or sometimes I say, hey, Amy, body is shutting down today. I got to rest. But before it gets to that point, I already know what are the triggers that my body, because of fibromyalgia and all this other stuff. I have to sleep. I have to take my self-care. I have to take moments to just breathe. And it's okay. I'm not going to finish my whole task list. And that's okay, too. If I get one done, I'm good.
Yeah. So, Moji Sola, I feel certain that when people hear you speak on this podcast, they are going to want to work with you. They're going to want you as their counsel or life coach or yoga therapist, their love doctor, meaning you're going to help them figure out how to love themselves. How can they get in touch with you? How can they find you? Tell us that.
You can go to the website at www.loveenergyservices.com or you can email me at loveenergy19@gmail.com. You can hit me on Instagram at loveenergyservices on Instagram, or you can call me directly. I'm going to give you my phone number. If you really, really want to talk to me, call me at 240-468-2571. I would love to speak to you and I'm always here. Please know that you're never alone.
And I love you. That's a first. Nobody ever gave their personal phone number out. Part of me is like, oh, wow, I want to help you have boundaries. So can we say that you will answer that text or that phone call in a time that also works for you and your body and your schedule?
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say that I might answer it immediately, but I will get back to you swiftly and promptly when accordingly. Okay. And at right times, not like 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay.
So we have people all over the world that are listening to this. So that could be challenging. She's on the East Coast. Yeah. Well, Moji Sola, thank you so much for being with me today. I'm so, so grateful to know you and be your friend and your light worker. You are a light worker in this world. And please, please, please come to our community to support you because you're right. We can't do this alone.
Thank you so much. It was an honor and a pleasure.
Ooh, Dr. Edu, you just rocked my world. You were able to articulate things that are deep inside me, things, truths that I know, but sometimes I can't bring them out of my mouth. I can't speak them in the way that you have spoken them. Thank you, Moji Sola, for coming and giving us a real picture of what it looked like. I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to. To me, this is enlightenment in the human body. I don't think it's somewhere out there. I don't think we're detaching and hanging around up in the clouds as if nothing matters. I think we're literally here to roll around in the mud and to get ourselves up and wash ourselves off and then try it again and again and again. I think that's what enlightenment is, to have the self-trust, to have the courage, to have the honesty to just take a rest, get yourself together, and then go right back in and roll around in the mud some more and try to figure it out.
It's like squeezing every ounce of juice out of this human birth and life that we've been given, this precious, sacred life that we've been given. So many of us would rather stand on the sidelines and judge, or stand on the sidelines of life and say, I'm too scared to do that, or stand on the sidelines of life and say, for XYZ reasons, I can't do that. I might go as far to say that we are not using this precious, precious life to go in and just start getting it done and working on it, and really not being so afraid of the suffering. The suffering is going to be there, whether you're standing on the sidelines or you're down in the mud. The suffering is going to be there. And some might even argue, Mother Teresa argued, that those standing on the sidelines, not participating, are suffering more than those down there, just making it happen and figuring it out hour by hour. So I love this message that Moji Sola has shared with us today. And I love the idea that it's best to do this work within a community, within people who care about you, will pick you up, will dust you off. Some of you might be wondering, well, I don't have a community. What does that look like? And I want to invite you to the Optimal State community. I have not figured out all the ways that this is going to manifest. I just know in my mind that healing happens together. And so whether it's the content that we're going to start offering on the app in terms of meditation circles and equinox and solstice get-togethers and gatherings, we're going to be doing a ton of stuff on the Optimal State app coming up. It could be through that. It could be through our Monday night yoga therapy clinics that we have a lot of people joining. There's going to be many, many ways to participate in our community. Many will be for free. Some will be very, very low cost, like $5 a month. Other ones will cost a little more, but we want to be part of this healing circle. And we want to use the teachings of yoga to help us all come to this place where we can feel safe enough within to find liberation. So I will be in touch about all of this in the near future. And I wish you well. I wish you courage. I wish you strength. I wish you empathy. And go out and just get in the mud and roll around today. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. You can also see the video versions on YouTube. If you'd like to get early release, you can always support us as a Patreon member. If you'd like to find us on YouTube or Patreon, just type in the Yoga Therapy Hour and Optimal State and you'll find us. All right. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you so much. A special thank you to our team here at Optimal State. We are truly a global family. George Mantuan, one of our executive producers. Adam Satchel, senior media producer and sound engineer from the Philippines. Krishna Panchal, a producer from Canada. Modupe Abdullahi, who does the show notes and is an editor for us from Nigeria. And Peter Morley, who wrote and produced the music for this show, who lives in Australia. Find more about Peter's work at www.zenmusic.biz. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.